Warning! This program contains strong adult language, violence, and brief nudity. It's everything you're looking for. Live from the Sims Tower in the Robinson Auto Group studio, we are AM 1600 WKKX.
The Local Doppler Radar. Your local forecast.
Pulling out at first dawn's light. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. And UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
That's what happens when one has political discussions in the break.
I know. We end up listening to the Weather Channel for the for the beginning. We're like, where is this music coming from? I was like, what's going on here?
That's all right.
Yeah, tomorrow's Super Tuesday, so it's all political talk. Not for us.
No.
I've already got in trouble. I'm not allowed to talk political.
Aren't you in trouble?
You remember when,
yes,
yeah,
I'm not,
I don't want to bring it up,
no.
But there
right,
almost
right,
wasn't a Whispers.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll get enough of it during the day.
I'm sure tomorrow's going to be jam-packed full of ideals.
Well, Howard is substituting for Bill, who uh-huh. is in Italy for the next 3 weeks.
That's right.
Yes, and already he's called home, so he just left Saturday morning.
What's he calling for? He doesn't like it, or
he just wanted to let me know that he got there safely, and I can't mess around with him too much. I almost said, "Yeah, I didn't hear of any plane crashes," but you know, I didn't want to do that. And you know, I think because he's you know in a foreign country and he's in rural Italy,
uh-huh.
so it's not like he's in Rome. And I know his family really speaks just very broken English. And I said, whatever you do, do not even make an attempt to speak any any Italian you think you know, because there's no telling what the words actually are, you know, so don't try. So I think, you know,
I eat it to Carlos.
Yes. spaghetti. A Gouda girl. You know, I mean, I can just... And then the words that people teach you thinking they're funny because you don't know what yeah. they mean. Yeah, and he gets his face slapped a few times or so. Now, when he's in Rome, I think an awful lot of people probably speak English there.
But, so is he by himself with his wife, with his kids?
No, he's by himself.
He's lost. If his family doesn't even speak English, he's lost.
He's with his sister and her husband, and his mom is very, very sick. So that's... that's the purpose of the trip.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he didn't take his family. So, I don't know, but yeah, he's already, I think, missing us.
No.
Missing us. So, he's calling in tomorrow after 11. I told him to call after 11. Because I'm going to be a little late, so. Yes, our Billy boy is on his world travels.
We'll let him know we wish him the best. He's missing out on Super Tuesday.
Google
for poor
is
guy.
Not Bill's friend. Let me just say that.
Google
is not Bill's friend. That's
Why?
Right. Well, because you can take anything you want and make it true because it's on the internet. So consequently, he looked up all this stuff that was kind of like verified by this study or that report, you know, and who knows if
yeah.
it's really true. And then I swear in the last 2 weeks, since he really solidified his plans, every airline disaster movie that could be on has been on. So, it's like, oh, Bill, just remember where your flotation device is. I won't tell you what the rest of what I said to him was, but, you know, I keep telling him, see? You should have taken me with you.
That's right. Always.
I know, because I can get us from point A to point B. I don't know. I mean, So, I don't know. We'll see how Billy's trip's going tomorrow when he calls. But yeah, he's missing everybody. And I can imagine, you know, it's one thing to go on a big trip like that with somebody you like and care about and are going to have fun, even if it is for not fun reasons,
yeah,
like a why is there. But when you're by yourself, you know, it's a little more
especially
difficult.
When nobody speaks the language.
I know.
It's
you
very
can
secluded.
Only pantomime so much, you know, food, alcohol, food and more alcohol. I bet she gains 20 pounds in 3 weeks. Because they eat and eat.
I don't think he has a problem with that.
No, and every meal is like 10 courses long. It takes forever to get through a big, you know, afternoon meal.
You think he'll be fluent when he comes back?
Absolutely not. and the sad thing is, he will think he is. That's, you know. So, because I told him, get one of those little... It looks like a little phone, but it's a translator, and you speak into it. Actually, my phone's got an app for that. You speak into it, and then you hit whatever language, and it translates what you said into whatever that language is. They have those? Yes, Bill, they have those. So I don't know where he went, but they didn't carry him. I said, well, they didn't have them. I said, at the airport, I guarantee you they will have them at the airport. Go to the Sky Mall thing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the first thing. But my phone's got an app for that. So
there's apps for everything nowadays.
I know, except I can't get my YouTube app to work.
That's a shame.
Yes, it is, because I had five, count them, five Yoga for Dummies saved in my favorites, and I can't get them to come up on my
phone.
Do
you know how many of our listeners want to watch you do yoga?
Joke's on y'all. I am not that flexible.
Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area.
The home number?
Yeah, you can try that. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. That's toll free, too. We're going to get our guest on the line. Our guest actually has been on with us before. His name is Don Wagner from Pittsburgh. From Pittsburgh. He runs the, Peace of Mind Paranormal. We've had him on several times before. We're actually we need to try again because we didn't try too hard to get into his school, that Broughton School, where they have the haunted kids. So I figured we'd have him back so we can start the conversations back up again. Next week, everybody. I want you to know that I will be out of town, so we are recording a show today so that we are going to have something on the air for you tomorrow. It's going to be good. It's going to be Mr. Tom Fusco. We had him on before. His book is called Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, Merging Science, the Supernatural, and the Spiritual and the Supernatural, Thomas Fusco. We've had him on, it was a few months ago. But it was really good, too. We have any luck?
Hey, Don.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we do. All right. Like I said, Mr. Don Wagner's with Peace of Mind Paranormal. He actually just wrote a book, too. He didn't tell me he said it was about haunted Pittsburgh. Don, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm at work and back and forth trying to get everything done.
Are you able to talk?
Yeah, for a few minutes, and then I had wrote you about TJ is going to give you a call, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so he's calling in a moment?
Yes, he is.
All right,
but
good.
I got a few minutes to talk there for a second while I'm taking a break.
All right, good. What's this book, this Haunted Pittsburgh?
It's called Haunted Pittsburgh in the Laurel Highlands. And it's just a collection of all the evidence and places I've been to throughout all the many years I've been investigating claims of the paranormal. And she has a lot of evidence and pictures and all the different places I've been to.
Oh, wow. When did you come out? When did it come out?
That's been out about 2 years now.
Now, 2 years. It hasn't been 2 years since you've been on the air with us.
Yeah, it's been out. I think it's been out 2 years or maybe. Oh, I've been through so much in the past couple of years.
I know.
No,
I know you had.
It was last spring because we were supposed to come for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Because you'd had a heart transplant or a heart surgery.
Yeah, I actually had to have a heart transplant.
Yeah, transplant, wow.
Yeah, that was something. I was real sick for a long time, and then finally it got to the point where there was really no options, and I got very lucky to be a recipient. And actually came out of the hospital in 9 days. It was a record at UPMC in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And I went in, had some hard times, and I actually had to be brought back. I was gone for some time during the surgery, and just that quickly, I was able to recover, and I was home in 9 days.
Now, it's crazy. Don't you have a physical job, too? Like,
yeah, actually, I install flooring for a living. And it was a little bit of a road coming back, but I got to say that being active was one of the reasons that I was able to come through the surgeries and everything so well and, you know, to deal with things good.
I don't know. And after a heart transplant, I'd want to be a greeter at Walmart.
No, I actually do better at my job now. The recipient that I got lucky enough to deal with, actually, I was 20 years old, and it made such a huge difference in my life. It actually makes you think about life and respect it a lot more.
Wow.
I know that I do, for sure, after everything I've been through.
You were also featured on My Ghost Story on A&E. Now, was that for your story with the heart transplant, or was that with Broughton?
That was actually with the Broughton School.
Okay.
We had videotaped some doors open by themselves down there, and we sent it in, and next thing I know, they had me on a plane. I flew out to California and did the show. And like I said, that was a blast. We had so much fun doing that.
Now, when was that on?
That was just on this past fall.
Really?
Or actually, it was last year. It was on. You can find it on YouTube. If you look up My Ghost Story Broughton School, it comes right up on there, and you can watch it.
Now,
that was a blast.
Now, what kind of stuff did they do for the show if they just flew you out there? They didn't come and investigate the school or anything?
Well, they actually had the camera crew fly here after we had done everything, with the stuff in California, the studio work, and they came here and investigated. Well, they didn't really investigate. They kind of shoot B-roll and walk around and see the claims of everything inside the building.
Anything happen while they were there?
Yeah, actually, the cameraman got to hear a bunch of different voices going on. It freaked them out pretty good. And that was at, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We were still filming. And somebody started talking behind him, and he turned around. There was no one there. And he was like, "Are you serious?" He couldn't believe it was actually happening.
No.
Yeah,
did he get scared and run away?
No, it freaked him out a little bit, but he was okay. He was a really nice guy. You know, he did a great job. Everybody at My Ghost Story, they're nice people, though. They treat you like you're some big celebrity, and you're just there to tell your story. But they treat you like it's wonderful.
That's good.
If you get the chance to do it, it's a lot of fun.
Wow, great. That's good. Anything new and exciting been going on with the school?
Actually, the school's closed right now due to occupancy permits with our borough down here. They're such wonderful people. And I've been harassing them so bad, they actually tried to slap a lawsuit against me for harassment because I've had everybody and their mom call them and and fight with them over trying to get the school back open. So they're trying to slap a lawsuit for harassment against me, but that's not going to work either.
So they're not letting you do anything in there?
No, they were fining me $500 a day to keep the building open.
What?
Yeah, that's what they charged me, $500 per day to keep the building open, and me letting people in, you know, because it was a wonderful place, and that's what they did. They fined me $500 a day.
So what you're saying is, in order to rent out the school, it's going to cost us $500.
Well, once I get through all the legal aspects of everything, I'll be able to get the school back open for everybody again. It's just been a long road, you know, fighting with them, and I'm not going to let them win.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm a little bit more stubborn than that, so I'm going to keep fighting them.
Now I know we've been talking. It's like every conversation about a trip. Like, we didn't even call the Penn this year to try to fix something up. Like, every conversation we have is about, you know, the school, like wanting to get up to that. So as soon as that gets back open, you need to let us know.
I'll definitely get it open again. And if you guys come to Pittsburgh, I was just at the Andrew Carnegie Library in Carnegie.
Uh-huh.
Investigating the claims of 2 workmen that died there and all kind of things that happened. And I'll tell you what, we got some really good EVPs from there, but we got a piece of video evidence by mistake. And one of the claims where they would come in and find books on the floor. But we actually videotaped a book come out off the shelf about 6 inches where it should have fell, and it goes back in. And
what?
Says, well, somebody could have pushed that. It's a solid back. It's an oak bookshelf. There is no way to reach through it. And all the lights were on whenever the video was running. And you can see down every aisle, and then there's windows. So if anybody's standing there, you'd see the reflection. It was just shocking to see this thing happen. We've had at least 100 people come down and try to recreate it and debunk it, and it's just not going to happen. It really happened. We filmed it, and you can see that on our Facebook page under Don Wagner or My Ghost Story TV. They were down there and filmed it for the library. It was just unbelievable to see this actually happen. And we went down and pulled the book out, and it's a huge book, so it immediately falls off the shelf. But this comes out and hangs there, and it just goes right back in. Like somebody looked at the, wanted to check out the actual title of the book, and they put it right back.
Wow. Wow. Stuff happens for you. We've got to hook up sometime and go to someplace because you get stuff to happen. Unlike
you got kids playing with stuff in your building. You got doors opening and closing. You got books being thrown around. You know what happens here? We get a creepy feeling. You know, that's the extent. Oh, we got an orb in a picture and a creepy feeling.
Yeah.
That's our big highlights here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we actually come up with a lot more than that, but you know, what I found out is if you go into any location looking for paranormal activity, you're not going to find it. Just go in there, be yourself, have a good time. All the equipment in the world is not going to catch anything. The best way is just to randomly snap some pictures and walk around. And if there's somebody there, talk to them like you and I are talking. You know, if somebody's there, they don't want to hear, can you give me a sign? They want you to walk in and say, hey, Mr. Johnson, how you doing today? We came back to see you. And we've used that technique, and we've gotten some really good results with that.
And that's what's working for you, just like going in and be like, hey, what's up, buddy? What's going on?
Well, we'll find out, actually, you know, who they possibly think is there, and we'll go in and sit down and just start having a conversation. Like at the library, you know, I sat down and talked to the workman and said, you know, you guys did a wonderful job building this building. I'm in construction myself. I just wanted to, you know, congratulate you on such fine workmanship and talking. And we had a lot of things happen by treating them as people. I mean, that's what they are. They just don't have the physical body. And that's really been successful for our team.
Now, see, I tried that with Red and his cell at the Pen. I mean, it wasn't quite exactly like, hey, this is really a cool cell or anything. But I thought, you know, I was just trying to talk to him. And, yeah, nada, nada, nada. But then again, it's me. Nobody ever talks to me. I don't know. I'm dying to get in that school. And I know last summer you had invited us up, and between Jordan's work schedule and my sister, there was no way we could get over there. But, really looking forward to it once you clear up your bureaucratic nightmare.
Oh, yeah, I'll get it open here pretty soon, just between that. And then, you know, I run my own business, and I just started a new adventure and then recovering from, you know, all the surgeries and that. I had back surgery, and then I train MMA, so my life is so happy.
It just kills me, and I knew you did it. And you go through the heart transplant, you got this. I install floors, and I train MMA, but I just had a heart transplant. You're a machine.
Well, they're rebuilding me one piece at a time.
Like the Bionic Man.
Well, I'm a lot smaller, so it's easier for them to replace the parts.
I didn't mean to interrupt your story there. I'm sorry. Dom?
Huh?
Yeah.
I said I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm just saying all this stuff I've been doing, it's so crazy and so busy with everything going on. And like I said, we just started a new company. We're making safety devices for ATVs and that. And we're in negotiations for production. And we're working with Sears and everything and getting our products on their shelves. And it's been really, hectic. I haven't had a whole lot of time to get out and investigate. I've been doing more of, fundraising. If somebody asks us to come in and see if we find anything, we have a blast and we invite the public in. And we say, you know what, come on and join us. We're going to show you what we do. And we have a good time. At the Carnegie Library, We had over 100 people show up.
Wow.
it was a blast to meet everybody out there and enthusiasts. And
now, is that a big building? Like, I've never been there.
It's huge.
Because I'm thinking, when we rented out the Pen, what did we have, 40 people?
Yeah.
And it was, like, too many people.
Yeah.
That's I was lucky enough to spend 2 days in the penitentiary, and we only had, I think, 10 people in there. And that even was too much at some time.
See, 10 people would have been nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You could split that up pretty good. Oh, sorry.
We did get some really good evidence from the Pen. We had a good time, and the people over there were really nice. You know, they invited us in, and we got to spend the days there and free of charge. So that was nice.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
We got some really interesting stuff on, and you can see that on our website. It's at palms.org. And you can see all the different photographs and DVPs that we got. We had one that says, "I hate you all." And they're really clear, nothing gargled. We have some good stuff.
Now, see, whenever we go, again, we get the creepy feelings in the orb pictures. Lola did get a cool picture last time we went of it was like a line of energy in one of those pictures. It was like from somebody's fingertips down to the ground. It was really neat.
It was cool.
If you go on our website, you can see we actually caught a photograph of what it appears to be two men standing in the sugar shack watching us, and you can make out the faces, the orange jumpsuits and everything. It's really cool. And I sent that over to a buddy of mine at A&E and had it analyzed, and he came back and said, you know, there's no deception. It is what it is.
All right. I got to look this up.
You got TJ's on the line with us, too. Do you have time? Can you stick around for a little bit?
I can get a couple more minutes.
We'll let TJ join us. I hate to keep him on hold. TJ, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
Just to introduce you, you're TJ from Western Pennsylvania Paranormal Hunters.
That is correct.
How did you and Don hook up?
Well, it was actually right before he opened the Broughton School. I met with him to buy some of his famous IR lights from him.
Yeah.
And whenever he was opening up the school, he invited a couple people from different paranormal teams in the Pittsburgh area to do a walkthrough and see if they could gather anything. And I was lucky enough to be one of the first people in the building. And from there, we just had a friendship, and I helped them a lot at the school as a volunteer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so it turned into, you know, helping out the school to investigating together and you know, bouncing off each other's styles and things like that. So
networking is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever been into the Moundsville Penitentiary? That's kind of what we're talking about now.
Oh, okay. I was there for one of the Halloween night things. Nothing, not to investigate.
You just for the Halloween show?
Yeah. Which in itself for that, it's cool because whenever they lock you by yourselves in the cells, it really creeps you out for a while.
I bet going off that, we Joe Montaldo, our director for the UPRN, just wrote on there that we should put Lola in a cell and get her to show some skin, and we'll get all kinds of ghosts.
Joe, no, we wouldn't. Been there, done that. Didn't work.
She was talking dirty and everything.
I was offering these guys up. Yeah, and no takers. So,
Lola, did you see their picture? Could you find it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scary.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I saw it.
But you looked and you didn't make a comment, so I was just asking.
I was being polite.
Don?
Yes.
Oh.
Just making
about
sure.
About another minute before I got to get going. Though.
All right. Well, we'll let you go.
I apologize.
Name your book again.
It's Haunted Pittsburgh in the Laurel Highlands.
And where can people get that?
You can get it on Amazon, pretty much anywhere you can find it.
Okay.
Amazon is probably about the easiest place to find it.
Okay, your group?
You can get it right on my website. It's on the front page. You can order it there.
Is that the POMPS website?
Yes, POMPS.org. It's Peace of Mind Paranormal Society, but that was so long for people to write, we shortened it to POMPS.
Yep, POMPS.org is the website. They got video, EVP. You can get in touch with Don. You can probably buy his book on it, too.
Yes, sir.
And get information on the Broughton School. You got to keep us up to date on when you got that open back up.
I will do that. The minute I get it back opened up and get done with all the red tape, I'll be contacting you guys right away.
If necessary, we will pay the $500 fine to get in.
You might.
No, that's
Lola will pay that. She is promised.
Yeah.
It's on the air. It's recorded. Lola will pay that.
From my experience, the $500.
What's that?
Oh, I was saying my experience is there. It's worth the $500 fine.
Oh. All right, Don, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you very much, and we're going to have you on again when you're able to actually hang out with us.
I appreciate that. I apologize for the short notice on everything. It's just, like I said, everything's been a little crazy. But TJ's a great guy. He's got an awesome team, and them guys uncovered a lot of great stuff. He got some EVPs from the school you guys might want to listen to. They're amazing. Some of the best that's ever come out of there.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Hey, Don. Go ahead.
I said, you guys have a wonderful night, and I'll talk to you guys again real soon.
You too. See you, Don.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Now, TJ, tell us about Western Pennsylvania Paranormal Hunters.
I founded a group with a guy back in 2008, and we just started, trying to learn on our own, basically, and go out and investigate. And our biggest thing was we watched the television shows and everything, and at our standpoint is, it was then, and it still is now, that, it's cool that all these big teams get to go into these places, but unless if I experience for myself, I got to find out if it's real.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how it pretty much started. And now it's grown into, we have 12 members on our team, and we do a lot of private cases and things like that, but every once in a while we get to hit the big, well-known ones as well.
Like, and where?
Well, like this year, we're going to Waverly.
Oh, there you go. Lola wants to go to that.
We're supposed to be going this summer.
It's been on my list since 2005, and we all debated on it, and we're thinking of paid places to go. We do one paid place a year.
Yeah.
And so I asked for like the last 3 years of other team members if they were interested, and people were a little bit nervous about doing the big road trip and stuff, but this year they actually brought it to me and said, we want to go here. I'm like, it's about time. Let's do this.
Now, Waverly, so, where's Waverly at?
It's in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's what Waverly's the big one that has the death tunnel, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking about Weston.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to
do. The Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Yeah.
I've been there as well.
Yeah? I went there on like the 2-hour day tour. I didn't go into anything actual, worthwhile, but
yeah, I did an overnighter there back in 2008 actually. And it was actually the first time I actually saw a shadow person with my own eyes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
Like that place is creepy. I will give it that. When I was like in the day, it was like early afternoon and I was like,
Oh yeah. Yeah, and of course it was a couple months after I started the team, and we didn't have much equipment. We had the typical voice recorders and, handheld cameras, and that was about it. And, of course, by the time that everything started happening, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and my camera was already dead. And, it was just a personal experience that not only myself but a couple other people got to see as well. So it was neat. And we got a couple EVPs from there, got a couple, there was a K2 session we had there. So it was definitely an awesome building. I do plan on going back sometime. I just don't know when.
That's pretty sweet. Now, Waverly, there was like a lot of deaths there, wasn't there? Like 60,000 or something like that?
Yeah, over 60,000 deaths.
Wow. What was it to begin with?
Tuberculosis hospital.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Right. That's a lot. Like, we talk about the penitentiary here, and there's like, there was like 100 people that died there, and then you get, there was so many people that died there that they had a special, like, tunnel entrance out the back so that people coming in couldn't see all the dead people they were rolling out.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. They did it for patient morale, too. So the patients didn't see so many people dying.
Couldn't imagine. There's got to be something there.
I hope so. That's the thing. You see it on TV, and you see other people getting stuff there. And like I said, I got to experience it myself. So, I hope the trip's worth it to go down there and capture some great evidence. I mean, we're going to hit it hard with a lot of equipment too. So.
Sounds exciting.
How much? How much is the ticket for that?
It's $1,000 for 10 people.
Well, it's $100 a piece.
Yeah, so it kind of works itself out, but you know, it's up there.
Oh,
no, but, you know, it is affordable compared to other places around too. If you look at the bigger picture, I mean, I know the Ohio State Reformatory, the prison out there. It's I think it's $2,400 a night.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, they are just really making the bucks off of this new phenomenon of ghost hunting, you know, because it's all over television. So, yeah, they are really racking in the money. All you gotta do is say you got a haunted place and
get while the getting's good.
Yeah,
I guess
absolutely.
Yeah, and the nice thing is like the Ohio State Reformatory, Waverly Hills. It's all nonprofit organization. You can actually look at their books, and all the money proceeds are going to restore the buildings. So
that's good. I think the penitentiary does the same deal.
I believe that is correct too. So you know, I mean, it's nice that they're using it to put towards, you know, a historical landmark, basically.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, I'm opening up my little bar restaurant here, and it's haunted, and there's been a team in here, and they say it's haunted, so. You know, it's $500. Come on in and investigate, and I get to keep the money for myself, kind of thing.
And drinks are $25 a piece.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you know, I like to see the proceeds going to keep a place alive. You know, keep it historic. You know, things like that. So that's actually a big thing. Whenever we do our paid places, is we you know, look into that to see if what they're using the money for.
Yeah.
So, TJ, tell me about your group, what you guys do, how you guys work things. Are you one of the groups that bring the Ouija boards in? Do you bring in psychics? How do you work?
No, we're pretty standard. We go with the, you know, the whole, what they call the scientific approach. You know, you bring in all the gadgets and the recorders and the cameras, and we just go in and we just try to do, you know, we try to disprove anything there first. And then whatever we're left with, you know, that have us questioning, then we go from there and they see if it's really paranormal or not. We don't use psychics. We don't have Ouija boards. We don't do anything spiritual with it. I know there are teams out there that, you know, do these things, and that if that's what they do and if they get good results, God bless them. But, you know, each team is different, and everybody runs things a little bit differently. And that's, you know, we just run ours like this.
Now, let me ask you what you think about this, because we had a guy, was it last week, the week before, he was talking about EVP is actually a type of seance. I mean, you're sitting in there, you're calling on spirits, you're expecting them to respond to you.
I do consider it a type of seance. But, you know, whenever I think of seance, and a lot of people in the public probably do as well, you know, they're thinking of the guys sitting there around the table holding each other's hands or
with the crystal ball.
Ball, and somebody gets, like, possessed, and, you know what I mean, and they're talking in tongues or, in somebody else's voice. And, you know, basically what I tell my clients is, and they kind of laugh at me for it, you know, we'll go into a house or a business and they say, so what do you guys do? I'm like, well, basically, we set up all these gizmos, and we sit here and talk to ourselves in the dark for a couple hours.
And that's about what it is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And they're like, well, that doesn't sound very fun on a Saturday night. I'm like, well, you know, if things really happen, like, you know, a door open or close or something, you know, then it gets exciting. But other than that, yeah.
No, what you tell them is, if you think that's not fun, be the guy that's got to sit there and listen to 8 hours of silent radio or silent audio or watch a video screen of the corner of a wall.
Yeah, exactly, for 8 hours. Yeah,
each piece of equipment running 8 hours, that's several days worth of stuff to go through.
And that's the thing. I mean, for the last few years with my team, I'm the more techie guy out of everybody. I have most of the equipment and stuff like that, and it came down to basically on setups, I was doing most of the work. You know, teardowns, everybody gave a hand with that to get the heck out of the place as fast as possible.
But reviewing, I did most of the reviewing, and it would take me, you know, a month to do one investigation of reviewing.
Oh, I bet.
And the nice thing is my work, like my boss, he is into the paranormal scene. Like he likes watching the shows. He always asks me where I'm going and things like that. And he allows me to review audio while I'm working.
Oh, that's a plus.
Yeah, so it takes out some of my free time at home or whatever. I'm not just, you know, coming home reviewing audio for 4 hours a night. So I can do it at work and knock it out of the way while doing other things.
Now, tell us a little bit about your – we always like to hear about cases. And I know this is the last-minute thing you coming on, so – you know, I'm not expecting, you didn't send us any EVP or anything like that. Like, tell us about, like, some of your most scariest cases or some times where you were in the field and you really got, you know, freaked out.
Well, there's actually only two places that I've gotten freaked out at.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll mark it three, because the original shadow person I saw at Trans-Allegheny, you know, I was just a couple months into it, like I said, and... you know, I'm here to experience something, and that was our first, like, big thing that we ever did. And when I saw the shadow person, I did kind of, you know, freak out a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I said, I'm like, this is what I'm here for, you know. I'm here for this. So, you know, from there, I calmed myself down and went right back into investigating. But back in 2009, I did Hillview Manor in Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And there's conflicting reports from the staff that runs it saying that a doctor committed suicide at the place. And whenever I investigated, I actually had somebody with me who's an investigator from another team who actually worked at Hillview when it was open. And he knew the doctor very well. And we're doing an EVP session in one of the hallways, and his little doctor's office was right off the hallway.
Uh-huh.
So we were standing in there, and the guy asked, he said, Dr. Morrow, I don't believe you committed suicide. I think you were pushed by a patient. And at that time, the room got really cold, and I collapsed to my knees, and I couldn't move. And actually, I'm not going to lie, I'm a fat guy, so it actually took two investigators to pull me out of the room. And I felt better when I was in the hallway, but I had to go stand outside for half an hour and catch my breath and everything. And
wow.
Yeah, and the phenomenon is that the guy who asked that actually caught an EVP says, I was pushed.
Huh.
So that was a, you know, real freaky, you know, couldn't believe it. You know, I felt paralyzed. I never felt anything like that before. It was real odd, and it freaked me out pretty good. But other than that, I came back in and investigated, and I didn't go back in that room, but I never felt anything like that the rest of the night. So, and my third thing was when I volunteered at the Broughton School, I think it was last February, we did an event there that was free to the public that Don and I cooked up one night talking, and we called it the old school investigation, where it was free to any investigators to come.
Uh-huh.
But you had to use all old equipment.
Like the real tape, like the tape decks, like, with the real. Did you go so extreme that it was only candlelight?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it was a candlelight. Nobody had, like, reel-to-reel. All we had was the microcassette tape recorders. And we
okay.
had 35-millimeter cameras and VHS camcorders.
Wow.
And there was one group we had on. It was on that Paranormal Challenge, that TV show.
Mm-hmm.
They said they use
a compass?
A compass, like a string with a rock on it, like candles. And, like, they went old school, you know?
Yeah, you know, it was just something that we were doing for the, you know, basically, you know, their teams out there, the, you know, change things up kind of thing. You know, we just thought it was a neat idea. And, you know, we had people there until about 12:30. And from there, it just got too cold in the building with no heat and everything. So basically everybody wrapped it up, and it was me and two other people there. And I said, you know, I'm like, let's go sit back upstairs in the upstairs hallway and, you know, do one last EVP session. And they were like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we're up there sitting in chairs, and we're just talking. And the doors on the bottom floor were slamming, opening and slamming shut. And there was loud footsteps stomping around us. And I was like, I'm like, let's go downstairs and see what the door thing is. Like, try to, you know, see what's going on. We walked downstairs. I mean, when I say walk, I mean, we were pretty much running.
Yeah.
But we went downstairs. It was quiet. There were some doors that were, because normally they're closed. Some doors were open. Some doors were closed. And then upstairs, all the doors started slamming just like it was downstairs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I looked at the other two people with me, and I could see, like, one was shaking. And I said, I'm like, you guys want to call it a night? And they said, yeah. I'm like, okay. So we hurry up and locked up and got out of there. But I'm like, wow, I never had, like, the school be that active. And we had another free event there back in June. We called it the Paranormal Party, where anybody in the public, anything, was welcome to come. We had a free cookout, beer, stuff like that.
Yeah, we were supposed to be there and couldn't go for one reason and another. So.
Well, I mean, we had there was a great turnout there. There was a lot of people who, like, just in the local community came out just to see what we were doing there and things and supporting us, which was nice. But, you know, usually at the school, it was like you catch an EVP or something really strange would happen. And that would be it for, you know, for most of the night. It seems that the more people that came through the building, the more the activity started.
Really?
Well, because of the energy source, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, the night of the old school investigation, we had 25 people in there. And then they all left all of a sudden, and the place was jumping. And so, with the party, we had over 220 people at the party all day long. And going through the school and stuff, and by the end of the night, you know, we had it open to investigate. Anybody was welcome to, and there was probably seven of us there. And it was just, everything was going crazy. I mean, I was actually walking down one of the hallways. It was the upstairs one, and nobody was up there. They were all downstairs investigating. And I was just walking through, and I was just joking around. I said, hey, can somebody open up the door to room 216? And the door just opened by itself.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, okay, can somebody close the door to room 210? Boom, the door slammed shut. And I'm like, okay, I'm walking around by myself. I'm going to go grab somebody else to watch this stuff. But, you know, it was insane. Like, it's just the energy from all the people there built it up and made things go crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a... you know, awesome experiences, but, you know, like I said, it freaked me out a little bit too. So, but
well, they say that about the Capitol Theater here, that there are people that worked back there, you know, like 20, 30 years ago, and strange things would happen after a performance. And that's what we figured was because the energy level is so high that all that energy is still in the building and they can feed off of it.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, whenever Don was talking about the Carnegie Library investigation, I was lucky enough to team up with him on that one.
Cool.
And whenever we were doing the reveal, earlier in the day, they had a big book speaking thing in the music hall where we did our presentation. And there was probably 100 people there for that. And then we just came right in and started doing our presentation. I'm standing on the side of the stage while somebody was talking, and I heard somebody coughing downstairs. And I'm like, well, there's nobody down here. The library's closed except for us in the music hall. So I ran downstairs, and sure enough, there was nobody down there. And I'm like, and I came back up, and somebody goes, did you hear coughing or something down there? I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, that's one of my big beliefs is the more people threw something in the day, the more energy comes out.
Now, do you think that, how do I want to say it? Do you think that it goes so more unnoticed because there's so many people there that, you know, it just gets dismissed?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. Like, yeah, because, you know, if you do hear something, you can say, well, there, you know, there's somebody else over here because there's so many people in a place. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you do get those people that, you know, are having the experiences, and they're like, we're having a performance here, and, you know, I walked downstairs, I saw some guy walk by who wasn't here. So it's kind of like a crapshoot, and I believe that with all the people around, I want to do a small investigation sometime soon at, like a little restaurant or something,
mm-hmm.
and send, like, my whole team in there to walk around and just, like, talk and not investigate, but just be normal.
Yeah, be there. Yeah.
Yeah, and then walk out and send one person in to see if anything happens.
Hmm.
To see if they, you know, if things start happening, things like that. So, you know, it's just ideas. That's the whole thing with, you know, with the paranormal. You know, there's nothing set in stone. You can try all kinds of different methods. And, you know, that's something that we do. We try anything. We'll try it at least once.
Yeah. Have you tried? Because I know we've talked about this before. We never did it. Playing music of the era.
Oh, yes.
How does that work for you?
I've tried it on two locations so far. I tried it at the school, actually, once, the Broughton School, and didn't get anything there. And actually, I can't really disclose where we were this past Saturday. We did a private business.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a dance studio. And so it's been a dance studio for a very long time, so we're playing some older music, like from the 70s, like dance music and some swing and things like that.
Well, see, that's what it is. They just didn't like disco.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. But, you know, we're trying different things like that, and every time we played the swing music, we'd hear, like, footsteps. And then whenever we'd stop playing it, nothing would happen. And that was the only time we had an experience the whole night. And I've been reviewing the audio yesterday and today, and I haven't caught anything yet.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, music, I think it's a big thing, like doing that stuff. Something that Don and I talked about, and we tested it at the school, but we're going to do it more and more, is dress up in outfits.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One of my investigators, he's actually, whenever we go to Waverly, he's gonna be a doctor the whole night.
That should be interesting.
To what extent, though? I mean, is he having everybody refer to him as the doctor? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, he's not doing an EVP session where he's asking, like, what's your name, things like that. He's actually going to actually make rounds in the rooms and say, oh, how you doing, Mrs. And walk around with a clipboard and say, you know, say, I'm here to check your lungs, you know. Can you breathe heavy for me? Can you tell me your name? You know, and like, you know, pretend to put a stethoscope on, like, somebody laying in bed. And he that's the thing. Like, he doesn't, whenever he starts going, he doesn't break character at all.
Huh. That's interesting.
Go on, sorry.
It reminds me of, there was one of those ghosty shows that went to the Pen where the guy kept saying he was the warden and was, like, yelling at the inmates, and there was, like, a lot of activity.
Ghost Adventures, I think.
Was that it?
I think. I don't know. They all kind of get jumbled in your head. It's kind of like the Real Housewives of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows which city you're looking at after a certain period of time.
Yeah, and actually, like you were saying about, like, doing the warden bit.
Yeah.
Whenever I investigated the Mansfield Reformatory, I actually brought a blue dress shirt, mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, I couldn't figure out what color the shirts were that the guards wore, but, you know, I brought a dress shirt, and actually I have my wife's grandfather's fire chief hat,
yeah,
which looks like, you know, so I wore that, and I had a real nightstick, an antique nightstick, and I was walking around, like, hitting it off the cages, you know, and I'm like, I'm here to rattle your cages, you got to quiet down, and, you know, acting like a prison guard, and I caught a cool EVP from that. The thing is, I couldn't make it out, you know?
Maybe that's best.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we try different things like that. The same investigator that's going to play the doctor. We did the I'm trying to think of the name. It's in Ohio.
Mansfield?
No, not Mansfield. That was the prison. It was Madison Seminary.
Okay.
Which we got some really great evidence from there too. But on the third floor of there, they had mentally disabled people, and they were mistreated.
Ooh.
And so, like, I'm giving my team some background before we go, and giving them some information. My investigator shows up with a straitjacket, and I'm like, "What are you planning on doing with that?" He's like, "I want you guys to strap me in it, and I'm going to put a couple voice recorders and set up a camera on the third floor." I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "I'm just going to roll around and act mentally deranged." And he did it for a half an hour.
Did he get anything?
He got one male voice that sounds garbled, but it was worth a shot, thinking outside of the box, I think, is really going to break the threshold of the paranormal.
Now, I'm trying to think of if that would be like calling them out, or they would think that was making fun of them or something like that.
I don't know. Like he had one of our – I have an investigator who's pretty tall.
Yeah.
And he had him bring him up like he was an orderly.
Oh.
And said, come on, you're going to get back in your room now.
Wow. That's interesting. You don't see that. We are out of time. How can people get up with you? Does your group have a website?
Yes, I have a website. It's pretty easy to find. It's huntparanormal.com.
Huntparanormal.com?
Yep. And we have all our – most of our evidence up that people will let us release and everything else. So we got some good EVPs. We got some good videos up there, some pictures.
That's good. TJ, I appreciate you coming, especially at such short notice.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun. And send me an email.
Okay.
And we'll get together and talk about some stuff.
All right. Sounds
all right,
great.
TJ, thank you very much. From Western Pennsylvania Paranormal Hunters, go to Hunt. What is it, huntparanormal.com?
Yep.
All right.
Huntparanormal.com.
See you, TJ.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are out of time, everybody. Remember, tomorrow's Super Tuesday. Do your homework, do your research, get out there and vote.
Absolutely.
Because that's the process.
If you don't vote, you can't bitch.
That's right. You have no right to complain about any of the leadership if you don't get off your rear end and make a say.
That's right.
And do some research on your people. Don't just...
yeah.
Know who you're putting in. Know who you're writing down. We're making history here. That's what voting is. You're making history.
An intelligent voter.
That's right.
Okay.
Until next week, everybody, don't be afraid. Only believe.